Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket. I'm super excited about this series that we're doing in collaboration with KLAS to recognize the top achievers in healthcare technology. KLAS put together a list of top 20 emergency tech awards that they showcased at Health. We were excited to meet many of the companies and really just wanted to collaborate in sharing the success and value that all of these companies are creating in the healthcare ecosystem. Join me in the series of interviews where we recognize the top 20 emergency tech awards. Hope you enjoy learning about them, because you could both learn what to do for your business, but also as a provider and a payer, learn how to scale solutions within your organization. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoy this interview. So excited to be here at the HIMSS 2024 conference with two outstanding leaders. First, I want to introduce you to Steve Lowe, president of KLAS Research. You've heard him on the podcast before, and we'll link up the episode that we did with him in the show notes. We'll also have Boyd Stewart with us, VP of Payer-Provider Collaboration. And I'm so excited to kick off today's interview. Welcome to the interview, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. Before we get things started, I first of all want to say congratulations on an extraordinary best-in-class event. Why don't you help the listeners and viewers understand what it was, the turnout, and why it's so important to our society?
Thank you, by the way. It's great to be with you. The show was Monday night, and for us, it's like a Super Bowl-like event for KLAS. We work all year to get ratings on every vendor that we can that's relevant to healthcare, telling the accurate story of what's going on. And when we publish the report in February, we look forward to the event as a chance to celebrate with those who have succeeded and won and demonstrated excellence in the category. So this year, biggest event we've ever thrown, most attendees, most segments, and it was actually the most data we've ever collected for a best-in-class report.
Amazing. How many people showed up?
700 something.
Wow.
The ballroom was packed.
Wow.
In fact, this has never happened in my time at KLAS, where we had actually a shortage of seats where last minute people wanted to come and we said, we're out of standing room. So this is, which is a great problem to have.
It is.
So next year, we need a bigger ballroom.
I love that. Well, congratulations. It's a testament to the data-backed work that you guys do, the validation work that really means a lot to the entire industry. So let's shift gears to KLAS Research and some of the important work that you guys are working on. Boyd, why don't you tell us a little bit about BP and payer collaboration?
Yeah, so I've been with KLAS 11 years. And in those 11 years, initially I was working around rev cycle and managed care management, those types of providers. And at the end of the year, I'd bring them all together. I'd bring together 8 to 10 CFOs, VPs of rev cycle, VPs of care management, and give their feedback on the reports we've done. And you know what? You want rough feedback, you talk to a CFO. They don't hold back. And they'd help us design, more importantly, our roadmap and where they want us to go. And without fail, every single year, the conversation would go to, hey, keep measuring the rev cycle firms, keep measuring care management. And it's so helpful for us as we're doing RFPs, as we're making decisions and the partnerships we have. But if you really want to help us, if KLAS really wants to get in the weeds and help us, you'd help us with Anthem. You'd help us with Humana, with the Blues plans we work with, and any of the local, regional, national plans that we work with, because they affect our bottom line and our business way more than our vendor partners do. And that's tricky, because when we're measuring a vendor customer, the experience they have in California is relevant to someone in Texas and relevant to someone in Tennessee. On a health plan perspective, it's very market-based. It's very regional. And so what's happening in California has very little bearing on Texas. And so what we did is we brought together a group of health plan leaders, a group of provider leaders, and some of the core vendors that are transformative in the middle, and brought them together in a summit. And the marching orders that we had from that group was three. They said, keep convening. So we do that every May in Salt Lake City. Number two is they said, can you report on the middle, the intersection between us? And that initially got me a little disenchanted, because doing a report around the friction and the waste and just the distrust that exists there today isn't a super interesting topic. It's not a super helpful topic, because everyone knows.
Yeah.
And they corrected me and they said, no, actually, we want you to report on the success happening. We want you to report on the wins that are happening when both parties win, because the things that will be sustainable and scalable are the ones where both the health plan and the provider say, this is helping our business, this is helping our organization, and we're going to move forward. And at the end of the day, we're putting patients at the center and not in the middle.
That's really interesting, Boyd, because that is where the narrative tends to go, right? All the negativity. But what you're saying is there's a lot of good happening. And now we're shining a light with the work that you're doing there.
Yeah. Because the hope is, and we call it the K2 collaborative, because K2 as a mountain is one of the hardest mountains to scale. And our hope is if someone comes and presents and shares something that they're doing with their health plan or with their provider partner, that someone else is inspired and says, well, maybe it's not the top of the mountain, but that helps me scale a little bit higher.
Love that. Steve, were you going to make a comment on that?
Yeah, just that we, in that summit, we highlight, we call them points of light. And it's highlighting those specific examples that where we're trying to say, like, what's an instance of trust being built, outcomes, positive outcomes being achieved in this area where, like Boyd says, it's been fraught with mistrust and waste, but there are good things happening. And as we start to shine a light, because that's what we do, we want to shine a light on the good, then it inspires other health systems, other health plans to think a little more creatively and engage with more trust.
That's fantastic. Really appreciate that. And it's exciting. And for everybody listening and viewing, we'll link up those efforts in the show notes so you could keep up with that and keep yourself informed on ways to do better in this space. Now, HIMSS, it's been a whirlwind. There's so many things going on. The talk of AI, large language models, cybersecurity. Out of all the things that you guys have listened and heard, what's the one thing that's risen to the top as an insight that's worth taking home and sharing with the listeners?
Maybe this is based on the vendors I work with, the providers and the health plans I work with, but the breach in Clearinghouse this over the last couple of weeks is severely affecting healthcare. I talked to several health systems that said, hey, this is affecting us more than COVID did. Now, wow. It's not in the public eye, but as far as their business goes and some of those things, I mean, there's some that are in single digits of days of cash on hand.
Wow.
And so as this gets drawn out, and we're talking about not being able to hit payroll, not being able to sustain the backbone of our U.S. healthcare, and that's our nurses and our workers, the registrants and all those there. And so it's severe. And we also have talked to a lot of vendor partners that have come to the rescue and not tried to take advantage of the situation that's happened to one of our partners and one of our friends in healthcare, but to come in and say, hey, we're going to come in and we're just going to help you today. We're not worried about a contract. We're not worried about long-term contracts to convert you forever, but we're going to support you today, come what may. So on one hand, you see the challenge and where do we come after this? What does healthcare look like a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? And the way we do business with the health plans and providers, that's a question that comes up. But then also there's this reassurance to say, hey, there's this family. At the end of the day, we're all U.S. healthcare and we're here for each other.
Yeah, that's really great, Boyd. And on that topic, and then I'd love to hear from you, Steve.
Yeah.
When does this end? Like, when do we turn the corner on this?
Not as soon as people want. I think everybody's conditioned to hear about a breach because we hear about them all the time. And then everybody moves on and a week later, it's forgotten. This isn't one of those where I think there's, and Boyd alluded to this, there's change that we'll see that's going to take months and probably the effects would be felt for a long time to come. This isn't like a quick fix, unfortunately, because of the nature of the breach.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no one's throwing stones. I think everyone from the health system to the health plans to the other vendors is saying, that could have been us.
Yeah.
That could have been us.
And anybody who doesn't express sympathy is naive about their own vulnerability. Because everybody's doing, I was going to say doing their best. Maybe everybody's trying to have a better cybersecurity posture. And you see this happen to somebody who's really important to healthcare, and there's sympathy. I think everybody feels some sympathy for what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And there's heroes coming out of this. Obviously, in cybersecurity, there's villains, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't need it. But it's been amazing. I'll reiterate this. The heroes that come out of this are these vendor partners that just have broken their backs and lost sleepless nights in order to support people that aren't even their paying customers.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways.
Love that. No, thank you, gentlemen. Steve, what about you? Any insights that rise to the top?
I love how the conversation about AI has evolved. I think back to like a year ago, HIMSS, and there was a lot of hype and excitement, but I think so many people then still couldn't see how it was actually going to make a difference in the solutions and services being offered. How is it going to impact patients? This year, the conversations I'm having, I think the more mature vendors are starting to understand how to translate this into real tangible outcomes. So it's not just a, hey, we need to do something around this, and it's not a frothy discussion, but what's the real outcome that's going to be achieved with a generative AI or a large language model? So the understanding has come a long way, I think, around the industry, and the conversation has matured. And for us as a class, it's exciting to say, okay, now how are we going to shine a light on real tangible benefits of AI being used in solutions. So it's not just how do we report on AI as AI? No, it's for a real application within healthcare. I'm excited to see those conversations and they're happening here.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm excited about that too. And for those of you unable to have been here, that's why we do these podcasts, for you to stay up to date and know what's going on. Our closing point here, I'd love to hear from both of you on what you feel our listeners and viewers should act on. So what call to action would you leave them with? And what's the best place they can reach you?
I would say, I think we're all patients. We're all consumers of U.S. healthcare. And I would just be cognizant of the tools that your health system partners, that your health plans put in place. These are the tools and solutions that we measure day in and day out. I'd say take an active role in your own healthcare. We're all employers or we're all patients. We're all consumers of this in some way. And then speak up when it's not fulfilling the needs that you have and think creatively. I think there's a lot of active ears right now in healthcare where they're listening to patients more than we ever have. We're listening to consumers and employers and other ones because this is something, it's going to take the largest of all villages to solve the problems and challenges we have in U.S. healthcare right now.
Thank you for that, Boyd. Steve?
For me, it's the call to action is ask great questions. I think especially at an event like HIMSS, there's conversations happening and people have their talking points. They have their presentations and their demos. But I think being really thoughtful about the questions that we're asking of each other as partners in healthcare can drive the conversation to new depths. And I think tough questions, and of course, being with Class Research, that's critical to our success. But I think everybody in the space needs to be willing to just dig at least one layer deeper than they're used to, or than it feels totally comfortable in the moment.
Love that. Great call to action, Steve, Boyd. Thank you both for being with us. For all the listeners and viewers, make sure you check out the show notes. We'll leave links on ways to get in touch with and learn more about Class Research. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Saul.
Thanks, Saul.